Hi, welcome to Cloud Cover. I'm Steve Marks.
And I'm Wade Wagner.
Last time you were on the show, you were substituting for me.
Yes.
And you at least made an attempt. You wore glasses. You, like, put the hair back or whatever. You
All
have
right.
made zero. You just claimed to be Wade.
So, are you suggesting that Wade wouldn't be free if he so chooses to have his hair grow long, dislocate his jaw, and get his weird accent if he chooses to?
That is true. Actually, he's been out for a while. And he certainly had more facial hair than last time I saw him.
Yeah.
Okay, I stand corrected. Wade is doing his best to be more like you.
All right.
And thus, you being you is a lot like Wade. Okay, maybe we should actually start the show. So we've got Captain Identity, Vittorio Bertocci. I don't know why you bother having a last name, because you're just Vittorio to me. But Vittorio Identity, and you're here to tell us some stuff about using access control with Windows Phone 7 with our spiffy toolkit. And I understand you also have an announcement to make live, and by live I mean recorded and then played back later several
Eventually.
Days. But
yeah.
But live on Cloud Cover exclusive.
Yes.
What is that?
Well, after almost 6 years of working as the identity evangelist, I'm actually moving to the engineering team, where I'm going to be a PM owning the developer experience for our identity all app. So I'm
cool.
Changing gear.
Changing it. And does it change? Are you now like Admiral Identity? or is it still...
Actually, probably, I don't know if a title will stick, because right now I'm usually in the room the identity guy, simply because I hang around non-identity people.
But now
Whereas now
one of
it's
many.
Going to be like a planet identity. Everybody will be doing that. So I guess that I'm not an alien anymore.
So you've gone back to your home planet.
Basically.
A planet identity where you're just one of many.
Yep.
Okay, that's good. I thought your home planet of identity blew up and you were sent on a, I thought you were the only survivor.
Basically.
But no. But apparently there are other people who work on identity.
But I still have the fatal weakness, which is, I'm not sure if it's corn dog or mac and cheese.
Corn dog or mac and cheese.
Yeah, mac and cheese, because it's, for me, as an Italian, is in the uncanny valley. Like,
right.
It looks similar to pasta.
It's almost food.
But it really isn't pasta, so it's like, what's that?
Okay, so your kryptonite is
mac and cheese. Yeah.
Well, we happen to have a bowl right here. Wouldn't that have been awesome if we had that all planned out? But we don't. Okay, so before we get to ACS and Windows Phone 7 and all that stuff, we're, of course, going to do some news. Then we're going to wrap up with a little tip. Anybody who doesn't know that clearly hasn't watched the show before, so what are you doing? Maybe it's just because Captain Identity was going to be here, and you tuned in just this one time. Fair enough. So what do we have in the news? We got, first we have meta news. We have, because this is news about the way you can get news.
I like the way in which you explain it.
So this is, it takes a lot of thought. But the Windows Azure blog is now like the Windows Azure, the whole thing blog. It's the whole platform. And so we've consolidated into SQL Azure and App Fabric, and everything is kind of on one blog. It's where the Windows Azure blog used to be. If you follow any of those blogs, you saw the announcement and linked, and just so make sure you update all your feeds and you just follow. It's at blogs.msdn.com/WindowsAzure. And on that blog, you will see our first sort of real news thing, which is there's basically a new feature in Windows Azure Traffic Manager that makes it easier to see sort of the health of not the health as in, is my app running or is it busy or whatever, but the actual, like, is it responding to web requests? Because part of what Traffic Manager has to do is, in routing to different data centers, it does some sort of health monitoring polling, and so if it detects that something's not responding, it'll start routing around it. And now there's a nice little UI that lets you actually see that status, so you can quickly, at a glance, find out where the traffic's actually going and why that is, because something's not responding or something's serving up an error or something like that. So that's a kind of neat feature. It's part of Windows Azure Traffic Manager. It's sort of useful anyway.
That's very handy.
So we'll get that. Next up, Rock Paper Azure. We have talked about Rock Paper Azure before, but now it is the grand challenge? I don't know. It's a new and improved Rock Paper Azure. You can win $5,000.
Wow, what are we doing here?
For just playing a game. Let's stop and enter the contest.
Absolutely.
We are unfortunately not eligible
as
Microsoft employees.
I
did get a t-shirt for participating in the pre-week last time. I couldn't win any of the real prizes, but I did get a sweet t-shirt.
That's very nice.
That had the symbol Rock, Paper, Azure, and what is it? Fire? What? There's water balloon and dynamite. It's a fun game. So anyway, if you didn't check it out last time when those contests were going on, now we have upped the stakes. So it's worth checking out. So do that. That's at rockpaperazure.com. Hosting services with WAS and IaaS on Windows Azure. WAS, of course, WAS stands for Windows Process Activation Service?
Service.
Yeah. We're going to go with service. Yeah, that's right. You may wonder why the P is not in the acronym.
Well, of course, it would be a four-letter word
right.
if it had
it
a P.
Right, it would spell something deeply,
it would be not
deeply
safe for
offensive,
work.
And yes. So we took that out. It's just WAS. And now that you've got full-blown IaaS in Windows Azure and web roles, you can do this sort of stuff because it's IaaS features. But there are a few tricks to it, and so this blog post goes through, how do you configure your WCF service to use a named pipe or something like that, and what do you put in your startup task and on start to activate all that and turn on the feature that you need and get it going. So if you were trying to do that, this is a terrific sort of how-to post.
And the post is from Tom Hollander, who is an awesome,
yes.
awesome guy. So he is a great technical writer.
That is true. And this is timely in that I think what day did this go out? This was June 23rd.
June 23rd.
When was June 23rd?
Six days ago.
So 6 days ago, right? So it was Thursday. So it's the day in between we recorded last week's episode where we talked about running Node.js in Windows Azure and when it actually went out. So in between that time, the announcement came out that Microsoft is partnering with Joyent, who sort of funds development of Node.js now, and with help from someone from Rackspace, and we're all sort of together working on true native Windows Node that will use I/O completion ports in Windows, which is the efficient way to do sort of many concurrent connections and whatever on Windows. And so you should see sort of a much better performing Node.js on Windows and a much, much simpler and easier to use. So right now if you do Node.js, you're grabbing somebody's build with the Cygwin binary. It's this whole Cygwin thing, which many of you probably groaned involuntarily when I said Cygwin, because it always feels a little awkward, and you've got these paths, did you slashes or backslashes,
weird.
And did I get the paths right and stuff like that. And so this is going to feel a lot better and be easier to use and easier to get, and it's going to run better and faster, and it is going to work in Windows Azure. There has been no timeline that I've seen on exactly when this is expected to be done. The Node guys were already doing work on a Windows port, and it's just sort of now we've kind of all officially gotten in together to make it happen. So that should be very good news for people who are fans of Node.
No doubt.
Okay, and with that, let's turn things over to Captain Admiral. I don't know, what's below the... What are you if you're just the guy who, washes the deck?
I know the term in Italian, but unfortunately my...
Yeah.
Knowledge of English doesn't reach that far.
And my knowledge of the Navy doesn't reach that far. So, okay, anyway, so we'll just go with Captain. But tell us about identity and access control and Windows Phone 7.
That would be my honor and privilege. So I know that in former episodes, you have seen Wade talking about this Windows Azure Toolkit for Windows Phone 7, which, in my opinion, really does a fantastic job at... wrapping various layers of our platform and just delivering you the functionality so that if you don't want to care about the details, you don't have to care. But if you do care, then you can pry open and dissect the code and understand what goes on. And I think that he demonstrated the membership provider version of the toolkit. Whereas, of course, I'd be very, very happy to first give you a quick demonstration of how to use the ACS side of things so that if you're writing your application for your Windows Phone device and you want to take advantage of various identity providers instead of having the burden of doing your own membership provider, then you can. And then after that, for the ones that have like a strong stomach among you, I'd like to actually give you a glimpse of how it works, like in terms of architecture. How do we do this trick that we go from identity providers that need a browser, that typically you do from, browser classic cookie-based session, and instead we use it from a rich client, because right. That's what it is, and not a generic rich client, but also from a smaller platform, which is the phone. So without further ado, let me actually use it. So the ingredients for our little trick here are basically two. One is the toolkit in itself, which of course I already downloaded and is already installed on my machine. And the other is one namespace of Access Control Service, which you can easily get going on windows.azure.com, go on the App Fabric, choose Access Control Service, create a new namespace. In this namespace, you don't have to do anything for configuring it. It can be perfectly empty. And in fact, there is a trick. It is completely empty. Here, I have nothing. So let me just fire up Visual Studio. This is a message for whomever for getting me faster hardware.
It's been a while since I've seen someone manually crank Visual Studio
Cranking Visual Studio open. And let me open a new project. Windows Phone Cloud 7, yes. Number 6, that's fine. And OK. So here you have seen this part. Wade showed it during the last walkthrough. And here, since I'm not going to touch on this part, I'm just going to use the storage emulator and accept all the defaults. Next. So here I'm being prompted to choose between using my own membership provider, which the project will generate on my behalf, or use the Access Control Service. Guess what I'm going to pick?
I guessed wrong. I thought you were going to do the membership
thing. I know.
I can't believe I overthought it. I was like, oh, it's too obvious that he's going to pick Access Control.
I am a surprising guy. But if you have a doubt yourself, here there is this easy functionality how to choose, which actually lands you on our documentation. And here it basically gives you a short background about the trade-off between the two options. So once I choose the Access Control Service, here all I need to do is giving to my template the power to configure things on my behalf. And that is done basically by giving it the credentials that it can use for calling the management APIs for Access Control Service. And all I need to do is go back on the portal, pick the namespace name and the key that I use for calling the management API, and I'm done. If I don't know how to do that, again, here we have this little link which substantially walks you through the process of doing that. Since I've done it a number of times, I will probably be able to do it without help. I don't know, but I'll try. Now, actually, it's super straightforward. You go on management service, you pick the client, you grab the key. Don't bother copying it down because Bob will probably hide it, or I'll change it after the... Otherwise, I'll find all sorts of...
I hope what Bob does at this point now in the video is takes that and just blows it up big, like, yeah, you know, and gives, like a short URL to, like, a paste bin or something where it has it, just in case you don't want to copy it down.
I deserve nothing less. And I'm pretty much done. As soon as I hit OK, now the system is going to reach out for my Access Control Service, add various default settings, which we decided simply for keeping things simple. Like, for example, we are going to add, by default, access to Windows Live ID, Google, and Yahoo. And if you want to change it further, you can just go on the namespace and add things by hand. And then we are going to copy all the settings from there, like, for example, which key is going to be used for assigning tokens. And we are going to automatically configure the service so that it's already ready to process the tokens coming from there. And in fact, here, we generated everything. If I come back on my namespace and I look on the running party, as you can see here, it added the necessary. And we'll see in a moment in details what that means.
What happens if I do this a second time? Like if I scratch this project, open a new one, and put in the same namespace,
the
is
same
that
namespace.
OK?
It's perfectly OK.
Okay.
It will just go on top. And right now, it will re-enable all the default identity providers, but for example, if you have other identity providers like your own Active Directory in Facebook, it will not delete that, but it will not enable that for this specific relying party.
Okay.
If you want, you can just go there, make a couple of checkboxes, done. Perfect. So now that I'm here, all I need to do is get on. Actually, the first thing that you need to do is to go on your local IIS and make sure that the port for the local HTTPS 443 is free. And yes, it's off. Great. Because for the way in which we've done this, when you launch the proxy, you need to have that port free. So let me start an instance.
That's a good point. So for most people who just have IIS installed and haven't touched it,
it will be fine.
Will it be fine? Because it hasn't actually, until you've added something with SSL. So the default, right, it binds to port 80, but that's
right.
It. Okay.
Like,
so,
and I do it because in my case, and like for all the people that work on identity, of course, it's very good hygiene to use HTTPS all the time.
Right.
So, of course, your 443 port will be blocked.
Sure.
So it's just a random chance that I have it down right now. Normally, you have to stop it and then go ahead. So, and here, what we have is exactly the same proxy, the facade to the various things like Windows Azure Storage and similar that we were using with the membership provider. The only difference is that now we'll send the tokens that we get from ACS. And so at this point, now that I have this running, I can go to the phone. Here, I knew it. Unfortunately, I am a Windows Phone developer, so I very often deploy on my device. And instead, all this is designed to run as emulator. So if I'm running stuff, I'm not allowed to change it, so I have to basically redo the entire thing. Well, it's not that hard.
Yeah, we didn't do much, so it's doing it again, isn't it?
Yeah. Repetita juvent, just for throwing some Latin here and there. You know, it makes a way more effect back home. Here, when I speak Latin, people look at me like, you are weirder than I thought.
Yeah.
Which is...
That's actually tough. I mean, that's quite an effect, actually.
It is. It is. So now, at this point, we restart everything. Here, we are actually running on the emulator, so that's great. Let me start one instance on my phone app. Here, we have our emulator, which is long and stretched to please our good friend Michael, because he likes the resolution of the screen to be like this. And here, as you can see, the first thing that happens is that the application sees that I'm not authenticated and so presents me with a list of identity providers. We'll see in a moment how it accomplishes that. First thing we need to do is to actually install the certificate that we will use for making some of our calls.
Right, and that's because, well, we've talked about that on the show before, but that's because it's a self-signed cert. It doesn't exist on the phone. The phone won't let you browse to things with bad certs.
Yep.
So you have to do that.
For your own protection, you have to do that.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
And
yeah,
so here, at this point, I need to pick one of those identity providers, and I will pick, because I'm a shareholder, Windows Live ID. And here, as you can see, we are using the flavor of the mobile page, and many of those providers have a mobile version of the pages. You just need to dig into their options and understand how to pull them out. So let's see. Today I will be Adam Carter. Adam, no, I like Battlestar Galactica, like the next guy, but Adam Carter, 64, live.com. And here you'll see my super secret password. Actually, not mine, Adam's. So.
Yeah, Adam Carter's.
Which, incidentally, is the name of one colleague in the, in the IT Pro range. And here it sees that it's the first time that I'm using this user, no pun intended. And so it actually asks me to register so that I can actually have an account in here. And if I would be using any of the other providers, I would have pre-populated those two fields. Windows Live ID, for privacy reasons, does not ever share information about you when you're using it on a third-party website. So here, I actually have to write something.
Right.
Ciao Vittorio. Yep, typing is not my best skill.
Imagine if you're doing this on an actual phone right now.
Registration successful. Ta-da! Okay, great. And now, from this moment on, I'm actually authenticated. Hey, look at that. I forgot that I can use my hands on the screen.
That's right.
And I can do things like, for example, like at this point, if I exit the application, and if I go back in the app, I'm no longer prompted to sign in simply because the application remembers me. And what does that mean? That means that we saved the token which we obtained from the access control service so that for the next calls we can retrieve it. Right now we are doing this and hoping for the best because we save it in isolated storage, which mm-hmm. is not accessible by other applications, but it's still not the best.
Right, it's not a super secure location. Right.
In Mango, things are better. In Mango, we have a DP API, so we have available the call for protected data, which is a special version of DP API for the device, which is using one key which is exclusive to the application. So we are in a much, much better place. This does not mean that if you lose your device, you are completely safe, because, of course, physical access to the device right. means that, I don't know, if you are a James Bond villain, you may have like quantum devices or I don't know what. But in general, let's just say that you are in a much, much better place if you use protect data. And of course, I can sign out. And at that point here, I'll just restart the entire game. And in fact, now let me just open OneNote. And let's actually take a look at what happens in here. Let me leave the application. Easier said than done. So let me come here. Perfect. OK. So let me actually give you a quick rundown of how things work from the protocol perspective. I can see Dave, Steve, that is preparing mentally, saying, "Oh no, Jesus, he's not going to do that again."
Yeah, it's always a little frightening when you start drawing pictures. But,
I'm very sorry. I'll try to be as safe for work as I can get. So let's say that here you have your phone application, and then here we have Windows Azure and our proxy, which contains, hey, look at that. It actually recognized my...
it labeled, it actually could read that. Wow.
Which is unbelievable.
it
never happened
technology.
Before. I'm always afraid that it will misinterpret and use something absolutely inappropriate. And instead of this time, it actually brought proxy. That's awesome. Which contains our web service facade. And then, of course, here we have ACS, which belongs to Windows Azure as well, but just for like real estate, drawing it elsewhere. So what happens is that as soon as I start my application, the application finds out that I'm not authenticated. So it will reach out to the access control service, and specifically to my namespace, and it will ask for the list of identity providers that are configured for this application. So IP1, IP2, which basically like this list is what we have seen before. And in fact, if I now go to my application, that's exactly what happens. When you see those four dots, that's because we are reaching out, getting the list, so that we get this list dynamically. If I go and I change my settings, Facebook would show up in here.
Right.
And then, and in fact, this, we get this list back in form of a JSON list. So it's very easy to consume if you'll be doing pages. And we just render it. Then at this point, when you click on one of those providers, then you actually have to reach out and authenticate. And now all of the providers that you see here actually do not give you a chance to do this, programmatically. Mm-hmm. They are designed to gather your credentials by browser. And this has, good reasons, because, for example, it's not just a matter of authenticating. Sometimes they will prompt you for things like consent to share certain mm-hmm. data, things like this. So they need a certain degree of control, of experience, which would be hard to get in a standardized way across different providers. So it's personally, I find a kind of a pain to have to use a browser for this, yep. But I also understand why we have to do it. And in fact, that's exactly what we do. We get rid of that list, and let's see what happens when I click on Windows Live ID. As you can see, we actually, oh, of course, because...
You have a cookie for...
Yes, yeah, right. So let me go to Google, where hopefully I don't have a cookie. Okay, perfect. So at this point, what you see in there is a true browser. This is a web browser control, which we are hosting inside our page. And so at this point, let's say that Google is here, we redirect using whatever protocol our identity provider decides to use, which in this case will be OpenID. We land in here and we authenticate. And now, of course, I want to authenticate with Google because otherwise you would see my password. I don't have a test user for that. But anyway, what happens in here that I authenticate, get back and forth, let me go back and actually pick Live for which I have an identity. And basically what just happened behind the scenes? What happened is that we got back from this interaction a token of some kind. And then we sent this token to the access control service. And then the access control service processed it. How? Let's take a very quick look. Well, from the rule perspective, that's very easy. All we have are pass-through rules, which in this case, just look at, for example, the claims here, email address, and it just copies through. But what's interesting is the format of a token that we use. Mm-hmm. Here, in our relying
pattern... something simple for the web.
You are right on the mind.
That's what I would want.
Exactly. That's exactly what happens. So normally in this flow, you would be using SAML. That's what you use for browser single sign-on. It's like the most common.
Yep.
But in this case, instead, we are using this SWT. That's to say that despite the fact that we are obtaining the token using classic AWS Federation, we are actually giving it in this small format, very compact format, which can be easily used in REST calls. So you can put it in HTTP headers, you can put it in a query string, like whatever a system OAuth2 allows you to do. And at that point, we actually do that. So we send back, let me use a different color for representing that we are using this agile thing. We send back this SWT token. And now this SWT token is in the browser, but we need it in the application. So here there is the access control service gives you this special, how to say, container page, which actually raises one event via JavaScript and makes this token available to the Chrome of the app itself.
Right. So what really happened there, right, is that this embedded browser ends up on a page that has the simple web token in a line of JavaScript that says, like, hey, raise this event or whatever.
Right.
And then in the app outside the browser, we get the event, we read the token out. And
exactly. Whatever.
So it sounds a bit hacky, to be honest, but it's actually not very complicated. I think what people miss in this sometimes is that despite the fact that it's a little bit of a weird way, it's sort of a workaround the fact that you need a browser and or whatever, it's actually, what it does is not terribly difficult to understand.
Not at all.
And, of course, you usually don't care about it because you've just sort of dropped a control in and you've gotten...
Right.
You've magically just gotten a token out of it. But even if you do, if you're sort of nervous about the weirdness that's happening, that's it, right? That's not that bad. It's just a specially crafted page that lets you sort of break back out of the browser.
Right. And yeah. This is very common. Let's say that in this case, you see an embedded browser, but like, for example, on the desktop or in other like bigger form factors, what you may see is a model dialog which contains the browser. And then when you close the dialog, it just happens to carry back the token to the place. And in fact, here, what happens is that you get rid of a browser, and now you have a token in the app. And what do you do with this token? Well, we said it before. We put it in isolated storage, and we keep it until it is valid, because of course it has an expiration date, mm-hmm. or until we hit the button here, the one for the sign out. And then now that you have that, every time you make a call, now I have finished my room, basically you just embed this token in the call as a part of your as part of the call, as described by auth. So again, you can put it in the body, you can put it out. And what happens here is pretty straightforward. Let me zoom a bit. In front of this proxy, we have our good friend Windows Identity Foundation, which has one entire token processing pipeline that will take this token and will validate it according to whatever the template decided at the beginning. So if, for example, I actually go in the code, so let's say web, this is our proxy, and I go on the web config, and if I go straight to Microsoft Identity Model, this is the configuration element of Windows Identity Foundation. And normally here, out of the box, when you do the little tricks like add STS reference and similar, mm-hmm. you find all the settings for doing, for example, AWS Federation or AWS Trust, if this is WCF, for all the stuff out of the box. Here, we are using extensions, which, as you can see, fit perfectly well into this model, in which, for security token handlers, we added a handler which is capable of understanding and validating the simple web tokens, the SWTs. Then we have one specific system for associating the key that we will use for checking the signature of this token, which again follows the mechanisms of WIF. And that's it. And we can, since all this is standard use of Windows Identity Foundation, we can use whatever we already developed for Windows Identity Foundation also in this case. For example, how do we actually validate the request? How do we authorize the request? We have this User Privilege Authorization Manager class, which just processes incoming claims and reads our policy. Basically, we have a database which you manage through this portal, in which you give permission to tables, queues, right. and similar to various users. And the code that you use here would not change of one comma even if you would reuse this class using AWS Federation, AWS Trust, or similar. So let's say that for some reason you decided to take the same service and expose it via WCF and Kerberos because you want to call it from your own, how to say, from another server, for example. Mm-hmm. This code wouldn't change at all. I would just add another endpoint which is able to do that. Or let's say that I want to start using it from pages instead of making REST calls. Again, the code for managing my authorization would be absolutely the same. I would just include the class in a different configuration of this thing. So, it wasn't that bad. Come on.
No, wasn't that bad.
You also got to see a little. So, that's pretty much it. Let me stress the fact that, of course, for being able to use this, let's say, if you want to add that feature to your application, you don't need to understand any of that.
Right, we saw in the first like minute and a half everything you need to do to actually use this and have a functioning app that uses ACS on the phone. This is for the people who like us, I think, want to know what's going on and how it all works. And if you wanted to change something, I mean, as you said at the top, you know, one of the nice things about the toolkit is to just use it. You don't have to really look at much. But if you did want to make changes to how it works, or you wanted to crack it open, it's all there. All the code is there. It's not hidden in some assembly. And so now that you understand kind of the flow of all this stuff, you can see where you could plug into like the WIF configuration, or, you know, the various places where you can change how this works in ACS or in WIF. It's good to know. It's good to know what's going on. But yeah, incredibly easy to use. I don't know. Why didn't we show that one? We just showed the membership one.
Well, I guess that he didn't want to steal my thunder.
He wanted to leave that for you.
Such a good guy.
That's nice of him.
Yeah.
Well, cool.
All right. So I guess that now it's time for...
It's the most exciting time. It's my favorite time. It's right. It's the moments before the tip of the week, which means it's the introduction to the tip of the week. And I think we should go with, we got some footage from before we were actually live on the show. And I think we should incorporate it somehow. I don't know. I mean, there's so much to do. When Captain Identity is on the show, there's so much useful stuff for Bob to come up with a good intro to the tip of the week.
Bob would be good to us, especially to me.
So I don't know. We're gonna give Bob some leeway here and have him come up with something. So here it is, your tip of the week. What? It'd be like that.
Random stuff.
Like you barely ever see the monster.
Mm-hmm.
And other special interest groups.
You shall not pass.
What? What? Mm-hmm. I think Ryan and I did that once.
Mm-hmm. Ta-da, that's him.
Because I'm a professional.
Ah, wait, my phone. I approximate.
You're right.
Action!
No, you can't say action.
If you want me to do action, yeah, at least you have to shave butter.
What? And we're back. I'm sure that was an awesome view into what goes on in the life of Captain Identity.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you.
So for our tip, if you want to know where you can find us at various events and, you know, conferences and whatever, we have the page now for you. You can go to windowsazure.com/events, and it will redirect you, and then you'll appear here. Which basically has a list, a growing list. We're putting them up as we've kind of got them more sorted out. But of various places that, you know, Windows Azure, SQL Azure, App Fabric, all of us together are going to be, whether, you know, sometimes it's employees in those product groups at Microsoft. Sometimes it's our MVPs who are going there. It's folks in DPE, it's evangelists, it's whatever who's going here. But these are the events where we've got sort of a good presence. And so if you want to come and see what we're doing, check out, these are a good list of events to check out.
In fact, the first one, Cloud Identity Summit.
Identity. Are you going to be there?
Yep.
Okay.
I'm going to do a 3 hours workshop.
Good. 3 hours.
Yeah, but I'm not alone. There will be also.
I was going to say that's Laura, a marathon, Hunter. A little bit.
Well, I did also 2 days straight for people who are really, really, really motivated. But these 3 hours, it will be me for the developer side, but we will also have Laura Hunter and Brian Poole from Microsoft IT that will talk at length about their experience of enabling Windows Azure apps with our own corporate SDS.
Fantastic.
And of course, Casual Connect. Unfortunately, I'll miss it simply because I'll be there.
I may be at Casual Connect for a little bit, not the whole time. And then, of course, Build. Everybody's going to be at Build. Build's going to be a big event with lots of cool stuff. And there's some other stuff on here. OrDev is coming up, I think.
OrDev.
You know, and we'll keep adding to this. We'll add to this list. There's a lot more that's happening. But once we know exactly what we're doing at which event and who's going, we'll keep adding to this. But anyway, a good thing to maybe bookmark, I don't know if there's a feed. I don't think there's a feed for this.
Let's,
I think you kind of have to go back and check it every once in a while. Keep that kind of bookmark, check it out, and, you know, come visit us at these various events.
Yep.
And tell us about events that you think we should be at that you don't see on this list. We've got a pretty big list of potential events that we're always kind of combing through, but if there's something that you think we should really be at, let us know. One way you can do that, of course, as always, is to tweet to @CloudCoverShow on the Twitters, or you can always, you know, send an email to me or something like that. But, yeah. Well, thanks for coming on the show, Captain Identity. Best of luck to you in your new role. I'm sure that's gonna go well. You won't be far away, so we'll probably have you back on the show more times.
I'm looking forward.
I am too. With a little fear and trepidation, but it's always a pleasure. And if you've got ideas, tweet us at @CloudCoverShow. Until next time, we'll see you. Thanks.